Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Broadcasting from Bashani Radio, iHeart, live from New York City, this is the Linda Monroe Show, and I am Linda Monroe. If you want to know more about me and what I do, go to lindamonroe.com. Don't forget to go to Google Play and download Bashani Radio app. We're live from New York City, talking about in and everything. You can hear us on the go. This show is sponsored by Rashad's Detail, Terry Ingram Sr., CEO and owner. Have wills, will clean. Also want to take the opportunity to thank all my listeners for listening to my broadcast each and every week. We're dropping some nuggets that will help you live your best life. I am so excited today about my guest. He is my lifelong friend. His name is Michael Muse. He's from Detroit, Michigan. He's a podcast producer, speaker, and author. How are you, Michael?
Linda, I am fantastic and amazing, walking in God's mercy and grace, and I know you are too.
Oh, yes. Michael was the first person to give me the opportunity to have my first radio broadcast, and he threw a surprise on me, listeners. He nominated me for the Women on Fire Award, and guess what? I won. Thank you. So, Michael, what I would like for you to tell my listeners is what has been the lowest point in your life and how it has gotten you to where you are today.
Well, Linda, that is a fantastic question there. And, Linda, usually when people look at what is the worst day and best day in their life, they look at where they're trying to go and what they want to do. And for me, the worst, I have to kind of pick it up, but I'm going to say the worst day that's most beneficial was the day I was sitting at a restaurant with my girlfriend at the time. And she looked in my eyes. She says, Michael, you do not look well. She said, do you think you may need to go to the hospital or something? I said, no, I'm fine. I have been working long hours. I have been running my business, and so I said, I took a vacation day, so I just need to relax. I just need to get some sleep, catch up on my rest, and I'll be ready to get back at it. Unbeknownst to me, Linda, I get home. I left there and go straight home, and as soon as I went to the bathroom, I began to have an aching pain. It was like a boxer was inside of my brain, and he was just punching the inside of my head continuously, nonstop, to the point, Linda, where all I could do was take my hands and grab my head, hoping this pounding would stop. And, Linda, at that point, it got to a point where I had to scream. I had to release this pain some kind of way, so I started screaming, ah! And as I was screaming, Linda, I took three steps. I reached my hand out to my girlfriend. She was sitting on my bed. I grabbed her hand, I gripped it, and I fell over.
Wow.
Linda, I did not wake up till about an hour later. And when I woke up, Linda, I was in the hospital in the emergency room. And it was at that point in time the doctor told me that I had suffered a heart attack, a seizure, and kidney failure all at the same time. He said not too many people come in with one of those things and survive, but to have all three, he said it was the first he had ever seen in his medical profession. And so, Linda, I was drawn back. So I said, doctor, what now? He said, you are not out of the ballpark just yet. We have to rush you to emergency first thing in the morning. Because if we don't dialyze you and get the poison out your body, you're not going to make it the next day. And so, Linda, when I got to that point right there, I looked at my life was about to change forever. And so when I finally got out of the hospital, my life was turned upside down. I lost my business. Everything I had worked for, I had lost it because I was unable to work. And so now I had to look at, I had to live this life now of being on dialysis for 6.5 hours, 3 times a week. So, Linda, it was like going to dialysis is like going to work, but this time it was in order to preserve my life. And so looking at that, Linda, I had to look at there are other people who are going through the same thing. I will sit in that dialysis chair, and I would look at the other people around me and realize we're in the same fight right here. And it had some people who I would see and I would talk to, build friendships with, and then they would pass away. But the one shocking thing is when I had one doctor tell me, he says, the fact you're on dialysis, the fact that you have high blood pressure, the fact that you have diabetes, the majority of people do not live past 5 years. So now I have a point of fear I'm dealing with now. Because now I've been told by a medical practitioner that my life has a time attached to it, and that it most likely will not exceed 5 years because of the pre-existing and the conditions that I was faced with. And so as I was listening to that, Linda, you know, I come from a praying grandmother, Linda.
Yeah.
I come from a praying mother, Linda. And they said, they told me, I don't care what my grandmother said, I don't care what the doctors say. I don't care what medication they got you on. If you call on the name Jesus, you
all
believe
right now.
You have that faith and you rely on him and don't let the outside influence touch your mind. Don't let it touch your heart. I realized and knew that through these prayers and through me holding steadfast that I can at least take on this journey. Because it was not a journey I wanted to be on, Linda. It was not a place a young man wants to be in. But I had to get to the place to understand this is my lot in life right now. Is it permanent? I don't want it to be permanent. So I constantly pray and ask God, I do not want to be permanent. But there were a lot of sick times, Linda. There were a lot of times I was in pain. There were a lot of times where I actually, even at the dialysis clinic, where I went unconscious and had to get rushed to the hospital. So when it comes for when people say the devil wants to take you, he was trying to take me, Linda. He wanted to take me. He wanted to grab a hold of me. But he could not defeat that prayer coming from a praying grandmother. And as I was going through these episodes, and even at a point where depression had kicked in, Linda, where I didn't love myself, I had to ask God over and over, do you love me? Your word says, God, that you shall not forsake me, but I feel forsaken, God. Why do I feel forsaken? And I had to fight with that. I had to argue in my soul with that to understand that regardless of how I'm feeling, that there's a purpose and a plan and a divine destiny for me. And as I was went across these paths of these different episodes, Linda, I had to get to a place where I had to make sure I stayed around positive people. Because people can be rough, Linda. I've had people tell me that I've had people tell me that I put myself in my situation. They tried to say I was eating too much food, bad food. They want to explain and diagnose my life. And Linda, and that could be very discouraging. Number one, let's look at the reality of it. When a person is going through sickness to the point where they're walking on the cane, they're in a wheelchair, I got to see who my real friends were. I got to see the angels that God encamped around me. Because there were people he put around me that I have not seen since, except with that first time seeing them. And Linda, I'm here to tell you and share with your listeners that it's a mental shift in decisions that a person must make when they're going through a situation. Number one, they have to ask themselves, what seeds am I planting in my mind today? That's the first question they have to ask themselves. The second question they have to ask themselves, am I going to water it? That's the next question. And the third one, am I going to nourish it? And the big question behind that, Linda, is that seeds, there are good seeds and bad seeds. And I realized those times when I was discouraged. I realized those times when I wanted to give up. I realized those times where I had lost faith, that those were just seeds that I had allowed to be planted in my mind and in my heart. But during this journey, Linda, when I realized once I had to get spiritually attuned, so we had to all get to a place where we can get spiritually attuned and get into the alignment with God, where we can see things the way he sees things. Because this word is very clear. He says, his ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. So I had to get on that path, Linda, to make sure my thoughts are his thoughts. And my ways are his ways. And as I looked at those seeds, Linda, I got to the place where those negative seeds, those bad seeds would grow, I realized how important to cut them at the root. And so as I cut them at the root, Linda, I realized I can live a life that's out of growth, live a life of abundance, that can live a life of gratitude, live a life of faith, because I realize that every second is important. I think we as people, we sometimes take life for granted. We take time for granted. We take the small, intimate parts of our life, we take those things for granted. A prime example, we all go to the bathroom, we brush our teeth, comb our hair, wash our face. But when you are too sick to get out of bed to do the small basic necessities for yourself, it's a humbling experience. It's an experience where, for me, I realized I had to build a spiritual fortitude, that I realized that I will not let Satan come in and cause me to lose the race that God had for me. But Linda, guess what, Linda? Say, guess what?
Guess what?
I got that important phone call, Linda. I got the phone call. They said, come on down. We have a kidney ready for you. I was like,
yes. Right. Hallelujah.
Yes. So all the pain, all the suffering on that day, it was gone for that day because I realized I'm headed to the hospital. No more dialysis. No more being stuck with needles. No more feeling sick. No more all the things that are associated with going through that dialysis experience, being nauseous and everything else. It's over with. So I go, Linda. I got my bag. It's already packed. I get to the hospital. My parents and family meet me there. I have the surgery, Linda. Then I wake up, Linda. I'm in ICU. And I'm looking around and asking what's wrong with me. I don't feel right. And that's when the doctor told me. He says, Michael, we almost lost you during the transplant surgery. You stopped breathing several times during the surgery. And we were scared that it was a possibility that you may even have lost some brain function. And so I'm laying there in this ICU, intensive care unit, with tubes and everything connected all to me, wondering what's next. So I stayed in ICU for a week and a half, almost 2 weeks. Then I went home. And then right when I was laying in bed and praising God and just looking at just imagining the future of my life and on how it's going to be, 2.5-3 weeks later, my 16-year-old daughter was murdered. She had a 22-year-old boyfriend. He sent her friend down to her house. She left out the house with her little brother. Went to go see her boyfriend. They got into an argument. He pulled a gun out and shot her right in the chest.
Oh, my God.
So here I am. I'm physically unable to move much because I'm still fresh from the surgery. So I'm not supposed to pick up anything. They don't want me driving. My movement needs to be very limited. They told me I had to be very careful, especially with the complications that I had from the surgery. And I'm dealing with my youngest child, my daughter, being murdered. And Linda, that's when my mind and spirit went into a tailspin. Like, God, why did you bring me to this point? Why am I dealing with this? But Linda, as I've always learned in my spiritual walk, that we seek Him and we pray and we stay consistent in it and ask for wisdom, He will give it to us. Amen?
Amen.
And as the more I prayed, the more I meditated, He said, son, you didn't go through this for you. You didn't suffer those dark days and nights for you. You suffered to help save others. I need you to share your story and let them know that there's a hope in the future for anyone, whether they're going through physical ailments, mental ailments, disease, afflictions. Those are the people who need your help. And at that point, I realized I need to write a book. And that's why I came up with the title, Rise and Burn. And it's probably, you're wondering, where does the burn part come in at? Let me take you back when I was talking about the seeds, Linda.
Mm-hmm.
And see, when seeds take root, it grows, right?
Right.
But see, if we burn those roots, those negative bad roots at the beginning, we can rise.
Hallelujah.
Like a phoenix from the ashes. And so at that point, I understood that it's need to share my story. And as I was sharing my story and realizing that I need to help people cut those bad seeds out of their life, to uproot that evil root. And you know, one thing about life in the audience, it's about principles. If you take something away, you have to replace it with something else. So as I was getting rid of the evil root, I made sure I was replacing it with the root of life.
All right, now.
And as I was doing that, Linda, you know, as a kid, and even sometimes even as an adult, we get out of bed sometimes and we're not really totally cognizant, but we don't have no shoes or socks on, but our foot hit the bed frame, and that pain just hit that toe, that big toe.
Right.
Ow! Well, Linda, I realized that our mentality and our mental state has to be consistent. So when we get out of bed, we're able to see and look every step and direction we make. Because, Linda, one thing I learned, Linda, in this path is that every step we take, it needs to be with God taking the lead.
Amen.
And that he's going to direct us. I think the biggest issue is, Linda, people are not willing to be directed. They're not willing to be guided. And the reason why a lot of people are not willing to be guided is because they see the life that they want to live is based on what society says. It's based on what social media says. It's based on policies and on what the hood says or what corporate says. And Linda, I realized I had to fight with that same thing when I was going through those dark times. And one of my chapters in my book is called A Thousand Things, Linda.
Mm-hmm.
We are living in times now, Linda, where we are distracted by a thousand different things.
That's a fact.
And so I had to ask myself, what can I do to think differently, act differently, to move in a way that's going to be beneficial for me, but also be beneficial overall. And so looking and going through that, I had to understand that, number one, focus has to be the foundational pillar of my success, number one. Two, in my mind, I had to be relentless. I had to be like Batman. And at that point, I came up with the Focus on Greatness Declaration. Because God has designed each and every one of us to be great.
Yes.
He has given each and every one of us a specific assignment. He has put us in the right location. He put the right people around us. And some of those people are good, some are bad, but he wants us to be that light for them. And when I understood how important it was to do that, the next thing I realized, Linda, is that I can't pursue success. And you're probably saying, why not pursue success? Because, Linda, I learned real quick that there are so many successful people based on what the world sees and what they see with their eyes, on how a person lives, what they do with their lifestyle, where they go, and the material possessions they have. But a lot of times, some of those are the most miserable people because they don't have the foundation of God there. And Linda, when I realized that it has to be about self-mastery, a person has to work on themselves. They have to dedicate their time for themselves. They have to block out all the noise that's trying to get them distracted, to think differently and to do differently. And Linda, well, I tell you, when I got to that place, I knew and realized that I can live a life that's purposeful, full of faith, and full of abundance. Because each time I take a breath, I realize it's to change the lives of people around me. So, Linda, I'm excited about my journey, Linda, and I'm excited. When I met you, Linda, I saw the greatness in you.
And yes, I knew it.
And so I knew you are a woman on fire. And that it's your time to be recognized. It was your time to be noticed. It was your time for people to see you other than what others have put on you. And Linda, I'm so grateful and thankful that you allow me to come on today, Linda. I am so enthusiastic. I'm excited to be an honor and privilege.
Well, thank you. You know, you like you said, you come across people, and I tell you and Benny, you my lifetime friend, because you know people come in and out. They don't stay. They come. Some come for a season, but you and Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. the Motivator, will be my lifetime friend, because I appreciate you seeing the greatness in me and pushing me to where my destiny is today. I will forever be grateful to you too, and God.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Linda, you are doing a phenomenal job, Linda. You've been on Forbes. You've been all over national media, helping prisoners, helping people, Linda. So you, Linda, I got to pass the hat back to you, because you are setting an example of service that our society needs to see, that servanthood leadership is what changes lives forever. So I am so thankful for you.
Well, I appreciate that, Michael. And how did you begin to, after you came up from this illness, how did you begin to share your story? Is this when the broadcast birthed, or?
Yes, the birth. I immediately, even when I was still healing from my transplant, I started an online TV show, The Michael News Show. And Linda, I was looking back at some of my first episodes, Linda.
Uh-huh.
I had an old raggedy sheet hanging up behind me, all wrinkled up. But you know what, Linda? I looked at that, Linda. My presentation was all wrong. It was all off. But Linda, Linda, I did the most important thing. I got started, because I knew what I had to share was more important than the presentation behind me. And I think that's what stops a lot of people from taking the next step, for them getting to their place of greatness that God has destined for them.
Exactly. I definitely agree. I mean, the fear just keeps them from acting on what they know they should be doing.
Absolutely. And so, Linda, that's the reason why it's so important for people to be in the right environments, be around the right people, so they can make the right choices that's gonna add to their life, not take away. Because I'm a firm believer, Linda, that everything we do, everything we say, every thought we have, is going to our longevity, or is going to our shorter demise. And Linda, I want to be on the side with the longevity.
Amen.
And so our decisions and thoughts we make when it comes to food and everything we do plays a part in it. And as long as we don't keep God out the loop, that's the problem. Too many times we keep God out the loop and we make these decisions about our lives, not realizing that when we look at King Solomon, what happened? All King Solomon did was ask for wisdom. He said, God, all I want to do is lead your people righteously. And what did God do? God gave him everything.
Mm-hmm.
Wisdom. Wisdom, riches, power, land. God wants to do the same thing with us. But we have to get past that fear of doing what he wants us to do for him first. See, too often we feel that we're going to be limited if we do what God wants us to do. That we have to change who we are. And you know, we are supposed to change. His words say we're supposed to renew our minds every day.
Yes.
But if we're renewing our minds every day, and we're taking a step of faith every day, and we're allowing this Holy Spirit to work through our bodies every day, we're going to grow into something that everybody around us will say was impossible. Because the God in us be much more powerful than what anybody else could ever imagine or seen before.
Yeah, you got that right. I was on a broadcast this week, and another pastor was on there, and, you know, we were talking about voicing things in your life, and I told him, I said, well, my takeaway is you got to be born again, because, Michael, what I found out, there are a lot of people walking around on this earth thinking they saved, and the Bible tell you, you know, you can't get to heaven unless you're born again. So they've done the water baptism, but they haven't received the spiritual baptism. And so she was telling the people after I made that statement that, well, if you get born again, you're still going through. Of course, the Bible tells you, you will have trials and tribulations. But God said, be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. And I advise, I'm like, you can be saved, but until you're born again, that is when your life will change. You'll see the manifestation of God. So I think she kind of got a little upset with me, but I'm like, you know, I'm bold. God give you the power to be bold as a lion, and I don't back down from what I believe. But therefore, since you're seeing through the spiritual eyes, you know, you can see certain things. Because the Holy Ghost is there to teach you and guide you towards the truth.
That's
so
right.
I'm sure that's what happened to you when you was in that hospital coming up out of that operation, Michael.
That's right.
Now, are you a preacher? Because that's what you sound like.
No, I'm not a preacher, Linda.
You're not?
No, I'm not a preacher, Linda. I'll say this, Linda. Anyone who has accepted God in their life and in their heart are always ministering. Because we live in a dark, dark world.
Yes.
And so when that world sees us talk, when they see us walk, when they see how we do business, when they see how we treat our family, that's how they make a decision if they're going to love God or not. So I really believe we as Christians have to really take our personal ministry to another level. I think it's great, it's excellent that we get the word every week from a pastor. But if our own personal lives are not living with the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and hope, how can we expect other people to want to have a relationship with God if we're not living out the fruits of the Spirit?
Yes, I definitely agree with that. And as my pastor says, we need to be the church outside the building. And I feel this is why God has shut these doors, to let people see themselves. And when they come back out, they're going to be so, so totally awesome and go out and win a lot of souls.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely, Michael, correct.
Yes, yes, yes. I mean, they're going to be so fired up. They're not going to know what to do. And because, you know, the Bible tells you there are a lot of false prophets in this world. So you have to definitely have that spiritual discernment to see the fruits of their works.
That's right.
Yes, yes. And it has just been such an awesome way for him to let the world know that he is in control. Regardless of what you try to do, he's in control. And that's why he wanted you to give your testimony, to allow people to see the will of him in your life.
Absolutely.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, listen, Michael, I definitely appreciate you from taking time out of your busy schedule today to do this interview with me. And before we go, give my listeners about 3 nuggets to help them live the best life that they can. I know you dropped plenty in there, but just give us 3 more that they can take and live to their best life on this world, in this world.
Number 1, be focused, which stands for focus on one course until successful. That's right, you have to focus on one course until successful. And that focus needs to be mentally in our thoughts, and needs to be in the physical in our execution. 2, we have to drown out all the negative things that may be affecting us, that we're thinking about. We have to drown those out. We can't get caught up in the conversations. That's not going to benefit us. We can't get caught up listening to people who have no meaning in our lives, but we've taken value to it, and we're allowing it to make our decisions. We can't make our decisions based on the world. God has already separated us. And so we have to be on a higher spiritual plane so we can live a life. So at the end, he says, well done, good and faithful servant. And a third point is, continue to burn an evil root that comes up every day. Burn it every day. Regardless if it's something a person, regardless if you've been struggling with this all your life or not, burn it. Because no matter what it is, no matter how tough life is, no matter how many situations you come across, God has a plan for you each and every day. It's the plan and purpose of you waking up, but it's up to you to burn the evil root so you can see the life that God is trying to set you up for your destiny. And Linda, and also, they can get in contact with me at michaelmusenow.com. They can reach out to me on LinkedIn, Facebook, because, as a matter of fact, Linda, whoever the first person who reach out to me, send me an email at info@michaelmusenow.com. That's info@michaelmusenow.com. I'll send you a free ebook of Rise and Burn.
Repeat that again, Michael. Info@michaelmusenow.com.
Info@michaelmusenow.com.
Oh, michaelmusenow.com. Oh, my listeners, you're going to get a nugget today from that. I can't wait to get it, I'm telling you, because this is definitely, Michael is definitely an example of God walking on this earth as well. I really appreciate God sent him my way and pushed me into my greatness. I'm there. I'm almost there, Michael. So I'm really excited that we got to meet and you gave me the opportunity to do my first radio broadcast. And that was just a sign. You know, you pushed me to act and I did it. So I really, really thank you and appreciate you. And like I said, you will be a lifetime friend for me because people like you, you need to cling to, okay? Because you have a lot of knowledge and wisdom. That's going to help somebody live their best life.
Hey, right. That's why I cling to the motivator, Benny Rader Jr., and I cling to Dr. Herbert Harris, and I cling to Dr. Akilah Faye, people who are making a difference in this world we live in. And those are people you want to be around who are making a difference, because there's not a large number of people making a difference. Like the word says, Jesus said, where are the workers? The workers are few.
Yes.
So we have to come together in mind, spirit, and in the body to make a better change for ourselves individually, but make a change for our family, but make everything around us a better place for the world we live in.
Yeah, that's definitely a fact. And it's just, I mean, like you said, when you step towards him, he'll step towards you.
That's absolutely correct right there.
Get you on the path that he needs to, for you to go, because I just see a lot of people just existing. They're not even living, Michael. They're just existing and not even trying to find their purpose and destiny that God has put them on this earth to do.
That's absolutely correct right there.
Well, again, I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule and dropping those nuggets for my listeners today. Praying that you have a blessed rest of this weekend and keep it moving. I mean, we got a lot of work to do. We got a lot of work to do. Like you said, the work is a few, and thank God he's putting together an army that will overtake this world through us. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Broadcasting from Bashani Radio, iHeart Life from New York City. This is the Linda Monroe Show, and I am Linda Monroe. If you want to know more about me and what I do, go to lindamonroe.com. Again, don't forget to go to Google Play and download Bashani Radio app. We're live talking about in and everything to be a blessing to help you live the best life that you can. Again, this show is sponsored by Rashad Detail, Terry Ingram Sr., CEO and owner, Have Wheels Will Clean. Also, don't forget to go to Linda Monroe and order my book, Overcoming All Odds, The Life I Should Not Have Lived. I'll send you a gift as well when you order it. And if you don't want to read it, I do have it on audio. I'll read it to you. So until next week, same time, same station, be blessed. God love you, and so do I. And thank you again, Michael, for taking time to do this interview with me today.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.